Hi everyone, it's Emily. Welcome to episode 19 of the 21 and Sensory podcast. So today I thought I'd do a podcast on all things working from home and like working remotely. So not just kind of working from home if you're kind of studying from home as well, doing schoolwork, that sort of thing. So I actually recently did a drawing which I posted on my Instagram and my blog called All Things Quarantine. Which kind of sort of spurred on the idea for this podcast, as well as talking to my friend Sophie. Go follow her, she's at CurioSophie on Instagram, so I'll link her down below. So I had a chat with her about what my next podcast episode should be. She was a guest on one of my previous podcasts, so go back and have a look. So yeah, we had a little discussion and thought about kind of discussing how I was dealing with working from home because, I don't usually work from home. So anyway, this doodle that I did took me a bit of a while to do, but it included an overview of sort of some of the things I've been enjoying at the moment. So I've been drinking a lot of tea. I know it's a very British thing. Falling into a lot of YouTube holes, organising and tidying my room and life generally, and just sort of doodling and creating things here and there. So I've been working from home up in my little bedroom, so I'm actually up in like the attic or loft, whatever you want to call it. It's quite a small sort of bedroom, but it fits a kind of desk in it, and I went and got my monitor from work, so I've got that up here as well. So yeah, I'm enjoying it because it's an environment I can control, and there's like no need for masking up in my bedroom because it's just me, apart from on video calls, obviously, lol. I thought I could chat about all things working from home, and kind of, I've also made like a UK lockdown highlight on my Instagram if you want to go have a look at that, so you can see all the sort of bits and pieces I've been up to as well. So yeah, I wanted to chat about the differences I found between working remote and in an open plan office, but I wanted to start firstly with a bit of context. So on March 18th, 2020, in case you're listening in the future, I found out that the next day would be my last day in the office. So I, just as a bit of background, I work in a company with 350 employees, and initially my work had split us into colour groups, so red and blue team, and that meant that we could come into work but in like alternating groups and like days and weeks over the next 3 months. And then that obviously like quickly changed because of the coronavirus pandemic, kind of escalated, and we were told that only key workers for certain projects needed to come in, because I work in a tech company, so we're sort of building stuff, some key stuff. Anyway, so the next day I quite literally walked out of my office building with what can only be described as a hella load of like technology. So I took my Windows laptop, I have an Apple MacBook, my LG monitor, and pretty much every cable imaginable, and my mouse and my keyboards, like literally the works. I literally brought my office home. I looked like I was robbing the office basically on the way out. And if you don't know, I'm a creative designer, so a graphic designer at this company. So I'm basically the company's, you know, designer. So if they need kind of branding bits and pieces, marketing bits and pieces, I do it all. So yeah, so that was the 19th of March, and I actually wrote down my like initial thoughts, like as like on the weekend I was like a little bit spaced out, and I don't know, I felt quite upset because it was a change in routine. Obviously I'm autistic and I have sensory problems, so I'm not great with change and I like my routine. Anyway, so I wrote down that I knew I was so lucky to be able to work from home, but I was really worried about the change in routine and structure, and I really felt like really sensory and overloaded by this. And I remember coming home on that Friday and just having a big cry. Also, if you have a look at my story highlight called Workplace, you'll see that I've struggled in my open plan office for a while, and I was actually I'll talk about that in a bit actually. You know, I was thinking I might grow to love working remotely, but this was like a kind of change and a shift, and I'm like really rubbish with even like tiny changes. So yeah, that was my initial kind of thoughts. I was worried because, okay, I'd been struggling in my open plan office. That was, you know, kind of obvious. There's 40 people that work in my open plan office. There's different levels in our work offices, and I'm on the ground floor, and there's 40 people in my open plan office, which is mental, I know. Anyway, so then kind of later on, I wrote another little thing down. So this was the kind of first week of the kind of UK lockdown. So I think UK lockdown started on March 23rd. So I put that everything's a bit weird and outsourced at the moment, and that the lack of structure and routine and just like the kind of general widespread panic was kind of more than enough to cause sensory meltdowns and autistic burnout. And I just kind of put, you know, I'm aware that this can put like a strain on like everyone's well-being and mental health. And I also kind of, I think I posted this on my Instagram. I said like, it's important to try if you can to like keep communicating with your family and friends about your feelings, because change is so difficult for us as like sensory autistic, you know, Asperger's, you know, anything on the kind of that spectrum. It's difficult for us to manage change if it's big or small, or routines and bits and pieces. I know everyone's different, but yeah, I said that, you know, I really felt for everyone right now because it was like the kind of weirdest and most confusing time, and that I found like the online community, like autistic community, is really like supportive of each other. And I said that I shared online that I was going to be setting up my own little home office. So I have like an IKEA dresser in my bedroom, but it's really kind of, it's tall and it's kind of thin, and it's just got all my stationery in it. And kind of on the top, I didn't have anything apart from like a little pegboard with stuff on it. So I actually started documenting how I was setting up my home office. I think I set up a little like home office setup highlight on my Instagram again, if you want to go and see that. Yeah, I called it desk setup. So I had to buy like a smaller desk to sit in front of my IKEA dresser. So I just bought this on Amazon. It was literally one that you just like put together with like an Allen key. And now I have like a little desk in front of my dresser, and then on my dresser is a monitor, and on the little desk is a keyboard and a mouse. So it's like a desk in front of a desk. So it's kind of taking up quite a lot of room in my tiny attic room. But anyway, so the week after that, I wrote that I had definitely been struggling and I had had a few sensory meltdowns, and I know that my mental health had been a bit up and down as a result of like all this like change to routine and the kind of normality and structure of everything. Also getting used to video calls, that was really difficult. We have like a marketing team at work, so a head of marketing, PR manager, an events manager, and I work with them, and they wanted like a phone call at 9 a.m. every morning and 4 p.m. Every evening, and I found that was quite a lot, because they usually, like the morning one's usually like 45 minutes to an hour, and the evening one's kind of shorter, it can be like 20 minutes, but still, that kind of like top and tailed my day, and it wasn't something I was looking forward to. I find video calls difficult anyway. I think kind of my family and friends know that. Sorry if you heard that notification, it's an email. So I kind of struggled a bit with the whole sort of, I don't know, it was difficult to get used to video calls and being kind of presentable and switched on. That was really difficult. I'll talk about that a bit more in a bit, I think. So it felt a bit weird, it was a little bit disruptive, but again, the autistic community online, it was really like great to kind of hear other people, kind of how they're coping and stuff. And then again, I did another little drawing, which you can see online, of like self-isolation achievements, because I was very aware that like the news and TV and online, like it was really like swirling around and being like, I don't know, the news was being updated constantly, which obviously is fine and is necessary, but it was really difficult for me to not get anxious and stressed and like upset and triggered by it all. So I drew this as a kind of like trying to hold on to the small positives each day and like the little autistic and sensory achievements I'd kind of been making along the way as well. It was a bit difficult, isn't it, working from home. So that was a little bit of background. So what did I say I was going to go back and talk about? So let me just talk about my own plan office. So where shall I start? So I've been struggling a lot in my open plan office. I've been working at the place where I work now for almost 3 years. I think I'll be 3 years in July. So I've been struggling. Last November, you guys will know if you follow me, I was diagnosed as autistic at the age of 25. I have chosen to not tell my work about this. I really want to, but there is, it's not a toxic culture. It's not very confidential where I work. I think everyone knows everyone. Everyone's kind of family and friends, and that's lovely, but this is something that's really private to me, and I know that my manager would potentially share this diagnosis, even though I don't want her to. So for the moment, I'm not telling my work. Anyway, that's a whole other story. You can have a listen to my episode where I talk about my diagnosis, and I kind of mention it a bit more there. Since February 2020, so this year, I had been struggling so much in my open plan office. I was just coming home every day and talking to my mom about it, and I was just like getting stressed out by it because it's such a noisy environment. People were having meetings like at their desks and stuff, and it was just like not conducive to like working. And like I was starting to work from home like one day a week, because my work lets us like work from home occasionally and stuff. So I actually had started looking at remote jobs that I could potentially change to. So obviously people kind of know what a remote job is now, but you might not have heard of it before, where like companies don't have a head office and they work completely remotely. So they work completely online, but like worldwide. So I'd been looking at a few different companies. And I think I had applied to like 3 or 4, and kind of was keeping an eye out just to see if there was a better job that would suit me, that was still in like graphic design, that was remote, that I could work from home. Like I hadn't even thought about my work from home setup or anything like that. I just knew that I couldn't deal with this open plan office anyway. Anyway, I got I didn't get a reply for a couple of them, and a couple of them said, you know, I didn't get to the next stage sort of thing. Although one company sent me a free t-shirt, so that was nice, because I got like 70% pass rate on one of their like interview tests, so that was nice. Anyway, and then yeah, March 23rd, this whole kind of coronavirus lockdown etc. started, and it forced me to be remote, which was weird because it was something I had really wanted to try. Like obviously I'm not thankful for a pandemic or anything like that, I don't mean that. It's given me an opportunity, which is very weird to say, and I don't mean it in like, you know, a bad way, but it's allowed me to kind of work remotely and see the pros and cons. So I'm going to talk about the pros and cons now. So I think the pros of working remotely, for me at least, have been: number one, I can have my own routine. So I get up at like, I have a 9 a.m. call, and I make my 9 a.m. call, I wake up between like 8:15 and like 8:45. And I know that my workday starts at 9 and I finish around 5-ish. So that's still the same as working in an office. But within that day, I have my own routine, so I kind of have a sort of set lunch between like 12 and 1. And I can go and kind of, I can do bits and pieces quietly. So like if I'm trying to like make up a logo design or like design something, I can do it quietly, like sat at my desk, or I can be designing something and have a podcast on, which I quite like doing, because I can listen to stuff if I'm not having to write. If I'm designing, I can listen to a podcast, which is what I would usually do in the office. So yeah, that's one thing. My own routine, I could set, you know, different segments of the day to do different things and sort my emails and stuff like that and design requests. So yeah, that's one pro. The next pro was having my own environment. So yeah, it's my bedroom. I've got a nice little desk set up. I've got my laptop like docked and plugged into my monitor, and I also have a work MacBook. So I have a work Windows machine and a work MacBook. So I do a lot of video editing and image editing, and yeah, my like work setup is working quite well. I'll talk about the con. There are some cons to do with that, but I'll talk about that in a bit. The next pro is that I don't have to mask or like have to put up a defense. Okay, I do have to do that on video calls, which is a con I'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, I am very quiet in the office usually, and I'm very, what's the word? I keep myself to myself. I am quite quiet. I don't really express myself hugely. Okay, I chat to people when I need to. But yeah, I don't have to mask. I can do what I want. I can have fidget toys out. Just kind of like rock and like flap occasionally if I need to. I can just be me, and I can make little noises and stuff and just be Emily, which is nice. So yeah, I don't have to mask, which is really great. And I don't have to like try and block out noise, because I can have a really quiet environment, or I can, like I said, have an environment where I listen to a podcast. Yeah, so that's another pro. My fourth pro is comfy clothes. Obviously, I think everyone's finding that, like working from home. I do get changed in the morning. I don't kind of, you know, put a jumper on over my pajamas or something like that, or like sit on a video call in pajamas. I have to get changed. I would find that too weird to talk to my manager and know I was in pajamas. But yeah, I mean, I can wear whatever clothes I want to work. I'm not one of the people who has to dress formally. But even so, I can dress even more comfy at home. yeah. Okay. What one are we on? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the fifth pro I found is tea breaks, without talking or bumping into people and having to socialise, which sounds really negative, but for me it's a really positive thing. So I can go downstairs and have a tea and literally only bump into my parents and my brother, who I'm living with. My sister's not at home at the moment, she's still living in London, so I literally just have, you know, my parents and my brother to, you know, bump into the kitchen. I don't have to like force chat to people at work and like awkwardly bumble through a conversation, so I'm really enjoying that. Another pro is, this sounds really weird, but I don't feel lonely in terms of like working. I don't know if I should, so like I'm not really missing anyone from work. I mean, like obviously like my team and stuff, I talk to them twice a day. Like I can't miss them because I talk to them all the time. So I don't miss them at all because I'm in constant contact with them. Okay, I miss like a couple of my friends at work, and the thing is I like WhatsApp them regularly anyway, or like we'll have like a coffee morning thing on like our like work video conferencing software, so like sometimes I'll like chat to them, but I don't feel like lonely in terms of missing colleagues or people, because I don't know, I don't miss that at all. I don't know if that's a bad thing. Okay, and my last pro is that I don't mind taking days off as much, because I'm not missing anything at work in terms of being there, because we're not there, if that makes sense. So I know that if I have a day off, all I'm missing is like emails, if that makes sense, and that sort of like updates, rather than like missing stuff that's going on in the office. So I find it much easier to have like a day off, because I don't have that fear of missing out, because we're not all in the office, we're not all like, you know, talking about stuff and hearing things, etc. So yeah, that's a pro for me. Okay, So we've done the pros. I did the positives first. Maybe I should have done the negatives first. Anyway, cons. Okay, so the cons to working from home for me are more calls / video calls. Yeah, don't love video calls. You have to be like really switched on. I'm finding in like the bigger meetings that I have to go to for like our like larger divisions within work, I can just sit listening on audio and have my mic muted and my video off, so I can still work but listen in on a meeting. So that's really handy. But the video call aspect of it is really awkward for me because I don't know really where to look apart from, like, I know you kind of look on your screen, but if you're like, so I usually have a video call with three other people, it tends to be, I'll try and kind of look at each like box on the screen, but then I'm like, should I look at my webcam like thing? Not my webcam, you know, like my inbuilt camera on my laptop. But I don't know, it's just awkward, and I switch off. And yeah, and also what was really awkward the other week, my manager WhatsApped me after one of our video calls and was like, are you sure you're okay, Emily, because you were really quiet. And I was like, I was listening. I was kind of listening to what other people had to say. And if I don't have a lot of design work going on and stuff, or like stuff that I need to talk about, then I come across as a bit like quiet, I think. But it's just, I'm getting on with my work. So that was really awkward. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I just said to her, I'm not very good at small talk is what I said. Obviously she doesn't know I'm autistic, but to be honest, by now, if she hasn't had an inkling, I don't know how I'm not giving it away. Anyway, next con. I find it harder to decipher and interpret like emails and specific tasks, just because I can't like turn around to people and say, oh, can I just clarify what you meant by this? So I have to still do that over email, or I can do it over video call, I guess. But yeah, it's not as easy as turning around to someone and saying, oh, by this, do you mean you want three designs, or do you just want me to try and do one? Or it's harder to clarify things, I think, and just interpret what people mean. I know that's part of my kind of processing issues and being autistic, obviously. So that's one other thing. Another con is internet troubles, VPN issues, and yeah, the network is much more stable when I'm at work and like my laptop is docked. Obviously I'm using my home Wi-Fi at the moment, and I am like two flights of stairs up, so my Wi-Fi router is on the ground floor and I'm in the attic, so the Wi-Fi signal isn't great. And I should probably get like a Wi-Fi extender or something, or like a power line cable or something. Anyway, yeah, it does stretch up to my bedroom, but it kind of cuts out a lot. And also our work VPN, which is, I think VPN is a virtual private network, is that what it stands for? Anyway, it means that I can log in and I can access all my like files and email on the like corporate network. That's been very kind of in and out, because obviously everyone's switched to working from home and there's like 350 of us working from home, so that's a bit of a nightmare. But they're trying to like add more bandwidth to it at the moment. Yeah, so that's another con, is internet troubles. I guess another con, but I don't really feel it's a massive con for me, it's just like a little thing, is I'm currently working, living and sleeping in my bedroom. And literally, if I turn round now from my desk, my bed is like two steps away. Like, my little attic room is pretty small. And that's fine for me. I don't have like a ridiculous amount of stuff. Like, the most stuff I own is books. But yeah, I am literally getting up and like walking a couple of steps to work as such, which is fine for me. I think I'm fine with it. But it means I'm spending a lot of time in my bedroom, which I guess isn't the best thing. I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing, but, and I have a garden, which I'm really like thankful for. So I do go downstairs at lunch and stuff and sit out in the garden and things. And yeah, I have also started doing Seven workouts. So there's an app called Seven on the App Store, and I've just done the 30-day fat burn challenge. So I do like 2 7-minute workouts every day, and then I do my own like weight like kind of training, just with like small handheld weights. So that is also kind of getting me kind of doing exercise and stuff every day. So I did a 30-day challenge, and now I'm on level 2 of the next kind of 30-day challenge. So I think I'm on like day 40. So for 40 days I've been doing 2 workouts and weights every day, and I definitely feel stronger, and it's also helping me mentally, I think, just to have a challenge to do. But also, like, it means I am getting fitter, and it isn't something I used to be able to do, because when I got home from work at like 5:30, sometimes 6, I wouldn't necessarily want to do that. So that's a little pro in that con. Okay, and then the last con that I have is I really need like showing how to do things rather than just being told how to do things. So I think I'm quite a visual person, and again, you know, I'm autistic, I have processing issues. I used to be able to get my manager to pop over to my desk, and I'd just be like, can you clarify this, or can you show me what you want, or can you give me a sketch on exactly what you're envisioning? And I need showing and not just telling things. And also, I don't know, it's just difficult to not be able to, like, I'm editing videos remotely at the moment, which is fine. I'm managing to do that fine, but it's really difficult when my manager gives me amends because she can't come to my desk, and we can't go through it like step by step with all her like amends or something, and she's trying to give me amends over email, which is fine, but it's difficult for me to break down everything she's asking me to do. So she'll say like cut between here and here and this and try this, and I get a bit muddled, just because, I don't know, it's quite a process to edit a video. If you've ever edited a video, you'll know that. And yeah, just before, just being able to say, oh, can you pop over to my desk to see the video so far and let me know what you think, that would be much easier, because then I could write down stuff that she'd want me to do, and I'd get the kind of tone and the message right and stuff like that. So yeah, that's another con for me. So those are my pros and cons of working from home. So I think it's now like, I've put in my notes like week 9 or 10 of lockdown, but I think it must be more than that, because UK lockdown started on March 23rd and it is Sunday 24th of May. So hang on, is that 2 months? Just over 2 months, yeah, a day over 2 months. Yeah, okay. So how many weeks is that? Like going into 9 weeks? Yeah, okay. So kind of how am I doing now? I'm in a like a familiar routine, definitely. I never want to go back to working in an open plan office ever again. I'm really hoping that my company will let me just work remote. I know that we're going to be one of the last teams to go back to work anyway, because we, you know, we're not kind of critical in terms of being key workers or anything like that. I can work from home. Yeah, so I know that kind of my company aren't like massively like, you need to come back, which is great for me. And like I said earlier, I've been struggling so much since starting at work, but particularly since February this year. I've just felt really kind of like on like a bit of burnout, I think, just because the environment was playing such a toll on my mental health. I was just getting so upset and fed up of people, and I just wanted the quiet. I just wanted like my own quiet room or something like that. I was desperate for it, and I've had like the opportunity to work from home now, and I really love it. I mean, obviously it's not ideal working in my bedroom, I've said that, but you know, if I had my own little office, that would be great. I'm still living with my parents. I actually turned 26 last week. Was it last week? It's the 24th. Yeah, I turned 26 last week. So yeah, I still live with my parents. I think I want to move out one day, and maybe I could have my own little office area if I did move out. But for the moment, like for my mental health, and you know, I'm autistic and sensory, and just a change in work was enough, let alone having to like move out or something like that. That would be huge for me. But yeah, I'd love my own little office. That would be great. But my bedroom's fine. It's working fine. It's quiet. It's my space. I can control it, and I really love it. So yeah, I think I'll do I'll talk a little bit about some advice as well, just for those who are working from home who are struggling. I feel quite lucky because, okay, I struggled initially, but now I'm in the kind of groove and swing of it. I would say, like, I've had a few like comments of people like asking for advice and stuff, and I really do think it's worth making like a routine, or just like splitting up your day into chunks, like manageable chunks. Like, it doesn't even have to be like, you know, hours or 2 hours. It could be like half an hour of like, you know, writing out your week's kind of plan, or like bits and pieces you want to get done each day. I do that like at the weekend or every Monday. I have like a weekly calendar. I have like a Muji 2020, like little A5 book, and I do like a weekly calendar. And I kind of write down all the bits and pieces that I want to do each day. And then on the right hand side of my A5 book, it's just like a gridded paper, so I can just write to-do lists and stuff, and like bits and pieces I want to do for 21 and Century on the right hand side. So that's good. So I really recommend trying to just visualize your weeks, because that really helps for me. And even if it's like small things, like do the laundry, or you know, kind of clean a room, or it doesn't, you know, you don't have to, we're not talking about massive goals or like massive like productivity things, or like people, you know, learning large skills and things like that. That's not me. I very much like to write down the smaller things, bits and pieces that I know I'll forget, because I have a really bad, like, I have a bad memory generally. I can't remember a lot, like long term, I can't remember like my childhood or anything like that, but short term as well. Someone says something to me, it will go immediately if I don't write it down. So yeah, I really recommend making a kind of routine, colour blocking stuff off, or like, I know people who do like a social story sort of thing, or storyboard out their day with like, I've seen, is it like, I think people call it like a PEX, like storyboard or something, where you can kind of, I think they use like Velcro patches, and you can kind of move sections around. Like, you can make it as visual or not as you want to, but I really do recommend like scheduling your time a bit, like not down to every minute obviously, but yeah, I recommend that a lot. Also, I recommend like regular breaks. There's only so long you can stay focused for, and also like you can't be productive in a pandemic necessarily, like some people more than others. I found that I can be quite productive, but not, you know, not every day. You can't be your best every day. So have, you know, breaks, or have like things to look forward to, like, I don't know, like a nice snack or something like that. Or like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to watch YouTube for like half an hour. Or a lot of people seem to be playing Animal Crossing on their Switches and stuff, and like, you know, using that as like a reward for breaks and things like that. So yeah, I really recommend that. You know, reward yourself. You're working in a pandemic, you know, you're studying in a pandemic, you're doing schoolwork in a pandemic, you're doing homework. Like, you've got to cut yourself some slack, because we've never been in this situation before, but we're all coping really well, like, considering the circumstances, I think. We're all still here, we're all still kind of, you know, turning up each day and doing the best that we can, and I think you should give yourself a pat on the back for that. I know some days are really hard, and especially like mental health and stuff, like it can, if you're anything like me, it can be very up and down, or you can have like specific episodes of like depression and anxiety. So I know everyone like bangs on about like self-care and stuff like that, but like, you should always come first, and this is such a hard thing to say, but like, don't compare yourself to other people, which is really hard, because you do, and I do, we all compare ourselves to each other. It's like a natural human thing. But yeah. Okay, so another piece of advice that I thought I'd pass on, and something that's working for me, is distractions. So keeping myself distracted when I'm not working, when I'm, you know, not busy. Also for you guys, you know, when you're not having to do schoolwork, you're not having to revise, study, maybe, I don't know, when you have some downtime away from friends, family, kids, whoever you're looking after, that sort of thing. I really think distractions are key, because the thing is, in your downtime, it was something that I struggle with, is my mind just like goes off on one. It likes to think worst case scenario. It likes to throw annoying thoughts at me, intrusive thoughts. and I honestly think distraction is really key. So just keep, if you keep yourself busy, it keeps your mind busy, and then your mind isn't throwing you like random like crap. it could be really simple. I know everyone says this, like, you know, you should exercise, make sure you drink enough water, self-care, all that. I'm talking like proper distractions, like, I don't know, like researching into a special interest, or like watching like your favorite sort of like documentary, or like something you can get like super involved in, like like researching into something, or like doing specific like arts and crafts and things, like scrapbooking, and like maybe, I don't know, journaling, like writing down bits and pieces, and like documenting your day, and like reading like books or articles, or just things that you're like super interested in, like stuff that will like keep you busy and keep your mind busy. Like doing things you love is really important, especially in this time. And I think, you know, don't compare yourself to other people, and you know, they're all like out, you know, doing, well, not out, obviously inside, doing like amazing things and stuff, and it's annoying to see that. But I really think it's important to keep yourself distracted in whatever way possible, even if it's just listening to your favorite music, or going on YouTube, or playing Animal Crossing. Like, it can be downtime stuff, but stuff that keeps you busy and keeps your mind kind of, you know, ticking along, sort of thing. Yeah, another thing that I would say is, and I kind of mentioned it a bit earlier, is that another thing, like advice that I wanted to kind of pass on, is to keep communicating with people. I know that's really difficult, especially if you're autistic, you have a learning disability, any kind of special needs, anything like that. I know it's really difficult to like not go nonverbal, or if you are nonverbal usually, or something like that. Like, I know it's difficult to communicate day to day, but like now more than ever, it's important to communicate with your friends, your family, your manager, supervisor, lecturers, tutors, teachers, anything like that. You know, if you are struggling working from home, or there's work that you don't understand, or there's, you know, your teacher sent you something and it's, you know, your friends are getting on with it but you're finding it difficult, I do think it's important to just reach out. Like, I email or I WhatsApp my manager when I'm struggling. I say, look, I got your email, but there's a couple of things I really didn't understand. And she's always happy to chat, always happy for me to like phone her or like chat over WhatsApp. And sometimes I'll just say to her, oh, do you mean this, this and this? And she'll say, yep, the first 2 points, yep. But no, the last point, you need to do this instead of this, or something like that. And then it's clear. And I feel like 100 times better, because I know what she wants and I can do it and send it back to her, sort of thing. So don't, if you're struggling with something like an essay or something like that, and you think, oh, am I going off topic, which is something I used to do a lot, try and talk to your tutor. Just say, look, I don't understand the question, I don't understand what angle I'm meant to be coming at, I've written this so far. Even sometimes attaching something you've already written, that can be helpful. Just try and communicate, even if you write down your struggles and send them to someone. Or I've said this before in a previous podcast, I write letters to my mum when I'm struggling, because I find it much easier to write stuff down and give it to her than talk to her face to face. So that way she understands what's going on inside my head, but actually, you know, she can read it rather than me having to kind of explain it from inside my mind. So yeah, communicate in any way possible if you can. I know that's difficult. It's scary to email or call someone. I get that. I know a lot of people just do it daily, and yeah, it's not easy, and I'm with you on that. So that's another bit of advice. Again, it kind of relates to the whole like keeping distracted, but you've got to kind of look after yourself and your mental health, and just like your health in general. Talking to people is always good. I know it's hard. And like just having someone that you can like vent to or just like offload. Like just having like one friend or one family member or like just like, for example, like my sister knows that she can like vent to me and just like totally offload. She does that a lot when like she has like bits and pieces throughout a day that she struggled with. Like just having someone you can be like, look, I've had a bad day, can I offload? And just someone to like share stuff with. Yeah, also in terms of, you know, reaching out to people and stuff, I don't talk to a hell of a lot of people. I have like my favourite people in life that I talk to and my family, and like a few friends, like a small kind of handful of friends that I have. And it's nice to just every so often, like, message people at work and be like, you know, how's your workload? Like, how's your weekend? That sort of thing. Just, I find it easier to message than to call, obviously. but even just like, I'll play like online games with people, or I'll just kind of, I don't know, just have like a message like back and forth. That's quite nice. Also, I make sure when I am working that I'm kind of moving around, and I think I move around more at home than I do when I'm at work, because I just kind of sit at my desk for so long, and sometimes I'll have lunch at my desk because it avoids me having to socialise. But yeah, in terms of health and stuff, it's good to get up and move and stretch and just get away from a screen. If you work on a screen a lot, like me, as a designer, I am literally on my screen all the time. It's not good for your eyes. So just like get up every so often if you can. Also, I think, like, if you are struggling with things like calls and video calls, then maybe if you can just say, look, video calls really are not my thing. Is it okay if I just listen on audio, or is it okay if like every other day I just listen on audio? And just say, like, you know, I am overloaded in terms of video calls and stuff like that. I think that's something I'm going to try and do more, is just say, look, is it okay if I just audio call this time? And I make sure I always do it in bigger meetings with people with more, like with more than like three people, I struggle. So even just one to one is awkward, let's be honest. But yeah, so this is like a whole jumble of advice, okay? So I'm kind of going off on one of just kind of bits and pieces. Like one of my friends last week reached out to me, and she said, did I want to go for a socially distanced walk? And I was like, yes, I would love that. Like, it was really nice, and we went to my local like park. So she parked outside my house, and we like walked like separately to the park, and then we just did like laps and laps and laps of the park. But like we chatted, and like she talked about how her job was going, and it was just so nice to catch up with her. If she's listening, you know who I'm talking about. But yeah, it was so nice to just, in a way, it was nice to see a person. I know I hadn't really, I've kind of been saying throughout this, I haven't missed people, but I kind of think I miss singular people, meeting up with people on their own, not in a group. I miss that, I think, because that way, kind of one-to-one, it's so much easier to kind of talk and go back and forth and stuff. So yeah, if you can get out for a walk, I know not everyone can at the moment, it depends where you are. If you can, try and get out. I know everyone's like, you know, a walk in the fresh air, you know, it's good for you, breath of fresh air. But for me, it does help. And I have a little dog, and he's a great excuse to like get out. And he'll, you know, even if my like parents or like my dad and brother have taken him out already, he's always up for a second walk. You know what dogs are like. Like, they're always like, yeah, let's go. So I think if you have a pet, like, I know not everyone does, and I know, you know, a lot of people who are listening might be in apartments or flats and things, and I know that it's kind of a privilege to have a pet. But if you can, or even if you can go out with someone who has a pet, I really recommend it. Pets are the best. I'm trying to think of any other advice. I think I kind of covered like the main topics and stuff that I wanted to. I think it is important to, if you are kind of stuck with your family, not stuck, but if you're living with your family like I am, I think it is important to have breaks from them. And if my family are listening, this is in the nicest way possible. like, you can't be with people 24/7 without going slightly mad. Yeah, so if you need to go up to your room and just chill for a couple of hours or something, like, I've been doing that, like, even at the weekend, like, okay, it's nice to, like, sit with them and stuff like that, and you know, during the week I'm working a lot, so I'm up in my bedroom, but even at the weekend, like, I come and hide up in my room. I'm currently hiding in my room now, but, you know, it's nothing against them, it's just, I know when I need quiet, I know when I need downtime, I know when I've had enough of people. So don't be afraid to just say, look, I just need, like, a bit of quiet time, or I just need time without people for a bit. I'd like to think people will be understanding. Yeah, I think I want to just say a little bit about, like, online stuff. Like, people make it look really easy to just living generally, I know that, but people making it look easy to live in a pandemic, live in lockdown, live in self-isolation, quarantine, whatever you want to call it, people are making it look really easy, and people are making it look chilled, and somehow people are making it like they dress great every day and are having, you know, a good time all the time. And this is the thing about online stuff, is people show their best sides, and you've got to keep remembering that. As much as it's interesting to look at people who are, like, celebrities or influencers or, like, YouTubers or whatever, like, they have bad days. Like, they must have bad days. Let's be honest, guys. Like, this is real life. They can't be, you know, looking perfect 24/7, or when they wake up or whatever. So, you know, people might be showing the best sides of, like, you know, living in a pandemic and, you know, in their really nice houses with big gardens and things like that, but we are all human, and I think everyone's struggling to some degree, and some much, much more than others, and it's a difficult time to live in. And as if life isn't difficult enough for, you know, a lot of people with, you know, not just, you know, sensory and autism, you know, people who are at the moment, you know, having to self-isolate because they are, you know, vulnerable and things like that. Like, everyone struggles to some degree, and I think online and Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff, like, you just don't get that sense of perspective. People are very, very opinionated, and, like, you'll find, like, if you look at my Twitter, I'm very quiet because I don't know what to say. And everyone has an opinion, and I almost don't know what my opinion is sometimes, because you read other things and think, oh, and, like, I can be vulnerable online, I can read things and think, oh, and take that on board, or think, is that my opinion as well? And perspective is key. So I think everyone is probably spending more time on social media at the moment, just because there isn't a lot of other things to do potentially. I think I am to some extent, and I've put, like, screen time on my phone because I'm like, this isn't good for me. So that's another, like, bit of advice. I'd say, like, monitor your social media usage a bit, just because, like, I don't know, I don't look at the news, I don't read the news, I don't think it's helpful for me specifically to read the news. I know my family do, but for me, whenever there's, like, a briefing on TV, I don't watch it, because I will get upset and I will get triggered. So I know that, and I think my family know that now. But yeah, in terms of social media, just maybe watch your usage, because it can make you feel rough, like, looking at other people all the time, because that's what it is. Social media is following other people and looking at other people all the time. But hold on to the accounts that inspire you and make you feel, you know, something, make you feel happy, or, you know, creative and stuff like that. Like, there are some really nice Instagram accounts out there, and it's important to kind of find your own community online. So I think with my whole, like, 21 and sensory journey, I've definitely found, like, my sort of people and people that I relate to and people who inspire me and make me kind of think, you know, better of myself. And I think you like, if you don't already kind of, you know, look at your social media and kind of just have a look at your social media and unfollow the people that don't spark joy. I'm going all like, what's her name? Marie Kondo? The spark joy lady, the tidy lady. You know, if someone isn't sparking joy on your social media feed, in the nicest way possible, like, get rid of them / unfollow them. because it's only going to give you, like, grief, and it's only going to make you, I don't know, like, doubt yourself and things. And I've definitely unfollowed a lot of people more recently. It's more kind of influencers and stuff like that, who you don't even realise you're still following and stuff. But like, I really recommend, there's some really great like museums and stuff and like art accounts and things. I can share them, or you can have a look on my like follower list as to like who I follow and stuff. There's some really good like illustrators and stuff that I follow who are putting out like really great work about like mental health during this time and stuff. And there's a lot of good like hashtags for that as well. So yeah, this has been a bit of a ramble. I hope there's like some advice you can take from that. I'm trying to think, other than kind of, I don't know, making like a safe space for you, or like a kind of environment that you feel productive in. I know not everyone has a desk in their room like I do, or has the space for a desk. But even if you can have like, I don't know, a lap tray on a sofa or on a bed or something, and just have it as your space, as your like, this is my workspace kind of thing, and label it as that. Like, it's useful for me, particularly, that I know that this side of my room is now like the work side. And when I'm sat in bed or in bed, I know that that's like the chill, like sleep, watch YouTube, whatever. I think it's important to split those. So try not to work somewhere where you should be chilling. Like, really split the areas in your mind and physically. I think is helpful. This has been a ramble. I hope this has been helpful. If you guys kind of can think of any other bits and pieces of advice, I can kind of put them in a blog post or something like that, maybe. I did also want to mention that for the past 4 weeks I've been putting a colouring sheet of my work on my blog. So if you go to my blog, go to the like menu, there's like 21 and sensory colouring sheets. So yeah, for the past 4 weeks, basically I've just kind of, this makes it sound easy, but it wasn't, like, I've removed the colour from some of my artwork so that you guys can colour it in. So you can download them on my website. I'd love it if you could donate. I have like a Ko-fi account where you can like donate like through PayPal. Like, I think I just said like a suggested donation of like £2, $2, €2, whatever, but they are free to download as well. I totally understand that we're in a difficult time and not everyone has that sort of money, so if you click on them, they are downloadable anyway. But if you could donate, that would be lovely. I totally understand if not. Yeah, they're just like printables, like A4 size, and I've had like a few people like post on the Instagram story like they're really nice, like colored, like coloring in. Like, some people are insane at coloring in. It's like amazing. So I've been posting those again. I'm gonna say I've got an Instagram highlight of those, so you can go and have a look at my coloring sheets if you want to have a look at them before you download them on my Instagram, which is at 21 and sensory. Yeah, tag me if you do color it in, or email me. I love seeing how people color them in. Like, it's really interesting how everyone's like minds work. So yeah, if you fancy a distraction, see, look, I'm linking it back in with my podcast theme. Yeah, if you want a distraction, then print my colouring sheets. Not sure if there's anything else that I wanted to mention. I think I've just been at the moment really thankful for the like autistic and sensory community online. Everyone's being really supportive, and so many of you have been chatting to me. I always reply to my direct messages. The funniest thing was someone messaged me, I think I might have said this on a previous podcast, someone messaged me to check that I replied to my direct messages and was like, this is a test. And I replied, I was like, hi. They were like, oh, you've passed the test. So that's cute. But yeah, I reply to DMs and emails. Like, I'm always interested to chat to you. So again, another distraction. Email me, message me, tweet me, what other cool kids do. I'm not sure. Just, yeah, contact me if you want to. Always here to like listen and stuff. Yeah, I'm gonna wrap it up because I'm just rambling now. So yeah, follow me, 21andSensory, on Twitter and Instagram, and my blog is 21andSensory.wordpress.com. So that's where you can get the colouring sheets if you'd like them. Okay, thanks so much, and I hope you all stay safe, and yeah, bye for now.